The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 2019. Today on the show, we've got Will Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
and Sarah Meadows
in the house. Oh,
man, I cannot believe how, first off, amazing 2018 was. I think we went to more conventions than we've ever gone to.
Yep.
Made more video reviews than we've ever made.
That's very true.
By far.
I played way more board games than I've ever played.
About the same for me.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I played twice what I played in previous years.
Okay.
And then 2019 already looks like it's going to be crazy.
Yes. We need more interns.
Where are they at tonight? They're probably prepping for a party. We're recording this a little bit early, but tonight, New Year's Eve, we're having a little Tantrum House game night, hoping to get the whole crew. Some previous interns have been invited. Hopefully they'll turn out to have some fun with us and play a bunch
interns
of games.
Interns past of yesteryear.
Future present. What is that? Interns of future? I don't know.
Whatever. That's cool.
I knew where you were going with it.
Yes.
Didn't work in my side either.
Interns past.
Right. Hopefully lots of parties, lots of games. We've been playing a couple of new ones. I know you guys played a couple as well.
So we played Pipe Mats from Lookout Games. And this is a design from Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchbeck, good Matt and Ben design team. They've put out lots of things, one notable game, Fleet. But Pipe Mats is a game about birds.
Birds are hot right now, right?
I know, it's like the end thing. So Melissa, tell us a little bit about what Pipe Mats is.
Well, it's a card game, and you are trying to get sets of matching birds. There are several different suits or colors of birds, and then they're labeled from 1 to 6, but there's two of each. So there's a 6 bluebird that's male and a 6 bluebird that's female. And if you can end up getting both of them, you'll get extra points.
Yeah. There's definitely math involved in this game, though.
Yes, because there's this bird feeder. And what you do is you lay out 4 seed cards, and they're going to have different point values from about 1 to 3. And then you have certain birds that are at the perches. And you play a card from your hand, and if the card from your hand plus any other cards that are there are greater than the value of the bird at the perch, then you get to move that bird up the bird feeder. But what you do is you take the difference of the two.
Yeah. So if it's like a bird at the feeder is a 3 and you put a 6 down, 6 minus 3 is 3, so you can go up 3 spots the feeder to get whatever seed card that is, get the bird that it beat out into your...
Well, the bird that was at the feeder who got the seed is the one that you get to
And
keep.
It goes in front of you. The bird that you played goes to the bird feeder. And, so you're getting birds, you're trying to collect sets, you're seeing what other people are collecting. At the end of the game, there's majority scoring for the colors, and of course, the male-female sets.
But there's also some nasty bad critters that come to the bird feeder, like crows and squirrels.
Yes, squirrels are...
jerks.
Oh, I think I saw it. Did you post this on Instagram?
Yes. Yeah.
Squirrel jerks.
Yes. People were talking about that. Yeah.
That's funny.
So the crows and the squirrels, they're going to end up taking away some of your bird cards or some of your seed cards. So they're going to take points away from you.
So Melissa and I were able to play this as a 2-player game and a 4-player game. The mechanics, of course, work the same. But I would say the 2-player game is way more like... head-to-head, you know what the other player's trying to probably go for. You can be like, oh, they have the blue 4 male. I have the blue 4 female. I want to make sure that other person doesn't get it. There's a little bit more combativeness between players.
Yeah, definitely more head-to-head in the 2-player game.
The 4-player game was good, but man, it was hard to have any like real good strategy. I think Karen, our friend, actually, she won. She had the best strategy of just going after 2 different colors and just really focusing on those. So at the end of the game, she scored a lot of points from her birds.
Yeah, definitely. With the 4-player... it's more spread out, the cards and the majority scoring.
And it does, I mean, it is a card game, so you have a shuffled deck. When we played, there's three squirrel cards and three crows. Two of the squirrel cards were at the very, very bottom of the deck. So, I mean, it did impact how we played. So.
Interesting.
Will and Sarah, what have you played recently?
Speaking of brutal and mean and effective.
I already know where this is going.
We played City of Gears from... Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I get choked up just thinking about it. City of Gears from Gray Fox Games, and it got dark.
We had fun, but yes, I was not anticipating the level of take that Will was going to stoop to in this game.
Yeah, we played it a couple times, and the first couple times we didn't really take advantage. In the game, one of the things you can do is you can use your lightning bolts to remove other people's robots from the board and their connecting gears, and I thought, you know, this time I'm just going to see how many lightning bolts I can roll and see how much I can remove.
It was the board was
I
in his favor.
Bad. I felt guilty.
Uh-oh. Oh yeah, he had a city tile right outside of his starting point that gave him lightning bolts pretty much every turn if he utilized it, and so then if he happened to roll more, it was just this cascading effect of
I think
attack.
I had like twice the area control on the board that she did, because every turn I would grow one and I would reduce her by one over and over for like 5 or 6 rounds in a row, and I had to finally stop because guilt was kicking in.
Wow. I like the actions or the connected actions that, like, as you build your sort of connectingness.
Yeah, all the gears connect, and then you get the link bonuses for all those tiles. Yeah, it's really cool. It's got a lot of good stuff on it. We just put a review out. We've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a fine strategy. I don't think it would work every single time. It was just, it happened to be the right combination of where
and
I was, where my
tile
was. And
if you don't like take that games, it does have some ways to mitigate against...
Okay.
That there's a different setup that you can use, so you can't hurt each other quite as harshly as Will figured out that you could. But yeah, I still enjoyed the game, even though I didn't lose by as much as I thought I was going to. I thought I was going to be like...
blown out of the water.
Yeah, and okay. And I was surprisingly close.
Yeah, at the halfway point, I probably had twice the score she did, but I did. I used up a little bit, and I changed my strategy. And then once the whole board does get uncovered, the game changes a little bit as well. So yeah, it was fun. It was an interesting one.
It was a good one.
Melissa and I have played Wingspan from Stonemaier about 5
so
times,
jealous.
And we introduced Sarah to it.
Yes.
And that's all we're going to say. Because literally tomorrow, January 2nd, is when the embargo lifts. But you can check out our video review, and probably our next podcast recording, we'll talk a little bit more about Wingspan.
Yeah, really beautiful stuff, though.
I know.
I've enjoyed watching you guys play from a distance as I tried not to understand too much of it.
So...
something else we did was create our top 10 video.
Finally, we sort of like challenged you.
I liked it. We accepted, challenge accepted.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad we did that.
Yes, it was our top 10 games that were launched on Kickstarter that Studio 3 made a preview for.
Yeah, okay. I know you guys have done this type of video the last couple of years.
Yeah, this is our third year running.
Very nice. Three? Wow.
I know.
Time flies. We decided to do it. We had time this year. That was really one of the big keys.
I think the thing was, like, back 3-4 years ago, like, it was basically we were doing a lot of the Kickstarters. And
that's
it was,
true.
Like, we
were
more and more so, like, hey, and then you guys started your studio, so it's like, hey, we need to spread the Kickstarter wealth around.
Yeah, yeah. We were, I don't know how many were on our total list. We had a ton to choose
from.
Oh,
we had a whole page.
Dozens.
There was a large spreadsheet.
Well, you guys did almost 100 reviews.
Wow.
Video reviews.
Blow my mind here.
Yeah.
We,
not all of those were Kickstarter.
Right, right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah. But we put together the list of top 10s, and that's obviously on our YouTube channel now, so you can check that out.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was really cool being able to just kind of go through some of those and relive and remember, like, oh man, we need to play this game again right now.
Cool.
So I think our listeners should tell us on Facebook which top 10 list they liked better. Studio D or Studio 3.
Well, here's the thing. We do have a confession to make from Studio D.
What?
I know. We actually stole one of your games.
I knew, and which is why we didn't include it in our list.
Oh, thanks for being so
kind. What are we talking about?
So Melissa and I got together, and we did a preview of Lovelace and Babbage.
Oh, yeah.
But we
actually
filmed it here at Studio 3.
And you edited it,
actually. Yeah. To get full credit for that.
And we sniped it for our list.
I think Melissa liked it so much.
Yeah. I think It probably would have made our top 10
We all played it.
But I knew you guys had on your list, so we didn't include it in those.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, you guys definitely had some winners. Chronicles of Crime was an amazing game.
I still haven't even gotten to play that one yet.
What? So next we need to do our bucket list.
Yes, we should work on our bucket list, definitely.
We'll have to put together
a
video.
By the time they listen to this, I'm sure it'll already be up on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, all right, cool. Bucket list coming soon. Games we need to play still.
That's right.
2018.
Well, let's go from here and jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about four games coming to Kickstarter the week of January 1st, 2019.
January 2nd, Planetary Conquest, the supplemental card game that's coming to Kickstarter, is from Labyrinth Games and designer Shane Kramer, or Sean Kramer, one of those two. It's a battle card game that will be, I guess supplemental means their plan is to release new cards every month for players to play with. And it's a two-player game, area control, head-to-head, hand management, deck management, with battle from dice. So not a whole lot of information on the game. It says it takes about 100 to 150 minutes, so it's a pretty heavy-looking lengthwise game. The cover art looks super cool, very Planetary Conquest-y. So if you're interested in card dice battle, two-player, cool-looking games, check out Planetary Conquest. Kevin, what are you looking at?
On January 1st as well, Sea Rovers is launching from History and Action Games. This is a game for 1 to 4 players. It takes about an hour and a half to play, and it puts you in command of the most notorious cutthroats that ever roamed the Spanish Main. So this game has some card play, some hand management, some dice-based combat and attack system, and a little bit of pickup and delivery. So you get to play as people like Blackbeard and Bartholomew Roberts and Sir Henry Morgan. So if you want to jump into history in the pirate era, then look at Sea Rovers on January 1st. Melissa.
On January 3rd, Eagle Griffin Games is bringing Railways of Portugal. This is an expansion for Railways of the World and Railways of Nippon. Now, this one is a map designed by Vidal Lacerda.
Ooh.
So, pretty big name there.
Definitely.
And the art is done by Ian O'Toole. So, basically a powerhouse combo for Railways of Portugal. So, this has auction bidding, card drafting, pick up and deliver, and tile placement. You're going to plan and lay track, upgrade your trains, sell goods to other cities, and use operation cards to become the richest in Portugal. And I know a lot of people really love the Railways of the World series.
They do.
So this is another expansion into that world by Eagle Griffin Games, Railways of Portugal.
Choo-choo!
Sarah.
Coming January 1st is Brutus, the board game.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
I don't think it's that Brutus.
Buckeyes, go Bucks.
Not the
E2 Boutte?
Yes.
Melissa
has it right. This is a historic game from the Roman Empire, and it has a hex board that's modular to play and battle. Cool. This is from AV Studio Games, and it's a 1 to 4 player game, and it plays in about 20 to 60 minutes. And I'm sure that kind of varies on if you get defeated quickly or if you have a lot more players. So,
cool. Well,
speaking of getting defeated quickly,
yes,
Larry, what are you doing here?
Whoa,
Larry!
Hey, nice segue, Will.
Flowing pretty well.
Yeah, that's really sweet. So I decided to crash this podcast. Also, I noticed there's some sweet gear here for babies.
Check that out.
Yes.
This is for what? 6 months?
Merry baby Christmas time.
Yeah, wow. 6 months. It's little onesie.
So we have our own Tantrum House swag in small form.
Right.
Yes.
Can't beat baby onesie Tantrum Con.
No.
Tantrum House attire.
At Tantrum Con.
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
shout out February.
That's right.
That's super cool. I didn't realize. That is fantastic.
We got to take care of our interns. And now we've had a little conversation about, like, you've been with us for a year.
Right.
Proven your intern worthiness.
Thank you.
I think we all are in favor of granting you full-on apprenticeship status.
Ooh.
What?
So, like, still like a level up.
Right.
Level up.
We're going to double your
Larry
pay.
Larry levels up.
Larry levels up.
Larry levels up. Okay. A new podcast episode.
Yeah, Larry levels up. Oh, we could go somewhere with this.
So now, I saw that you were going to be doing some gaming maybe this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I'm borrowing some games. So we have family that come from out of town, and they're visiting for the holiday season.
Cool.
And where's the one place I turn to for party games? Tantrum House. Studio 3.
The rental library has been open for you.
Thankfully, there's no fees, so I appreciate it.
Yes. The late fees, though, they'll kill you.
Ooh, crazy. Anyways, so yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is really cool. I really wish I could do this more often, but...
Well, you know what you should do?
What should I do?
You should introduce your own timeout segment.
Introduce yourself, Larry.
Oh, man, this is good. Okay, let's see. Should we do, like, a formal introduction?
Sure.
Okay, that sounds good.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, you guys really did. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Now presenting the infamous, the one and only segment with me, Larry the Apprentice, we have Tantrum House... Time out. Prepare yourself.
It's the 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host.
What up, T-Housers? Oh yeah, Larry the Apprentice here. Love it. Love the ring. This week on The Timeout, we're putting parents in the corner. Why? I'm so glad you asked, because it's time to grow up. Christmas is the time of year to get bikes, video games, dolls, and educational games for the kids, but this year, top sellers include Flush and Frenzy and Toilet Trouble? Ugh! Other games that are popping up include Pimple Pete, Don't Step in It, and Peeing Pup. Modern game makers are stooping to a new low, but you know why they're in business making these games? Because parents are buying these games. I get it, bathroom humor is hysterical to kids, but where did I miss the memo that it's okay for them to play in it? Thankfully, parents are also buying games like Codenames and Catan, but when classics like Pandemic and Ticket to Ride are brushed to the side for poop, it's time for an intervention. Larry, you're such an old fart. Go with the times. Maybe I would if the times weren't so stupid. You know what no one ever complains about? The timeless classics. Now get off my lawn, you youngsters. Hey, if you have a game you want to hear on the timeout, let me know in the comments or on Facebook. See ya.
Well, that really stunk, Larry.
That's good. Yeah. I don't understand why parents would stoop to the level of picking games like Fishing for Floaters.
Right.
Why?
I don't get it.
If I'm a kid for Christmas, like...
Is that what you want to open up?
No.
I don't know what it is.
No, if you have an 8-year-old boy...
That's what they talk about.
They would love it.
But... Guys, come... Thank you. Like, I don't understand. Don't step in it?
I know.
Control yourself, people.
Oh, man. So, parents, admonishment to you to try to teach your kids... something. Don't stoop to their level.
I feel like Apprentice Larry is wiser and more mature.
I think so
year.
Too.
I leveled up in many ways.
Apprentice Larry would never choose Patchwork as a game that he was going to.
It's a Tantrum House throwdown right here in the podcast.
Well, cool, man. Thanks so much for swinging by and hanging out and sharing with us your timeout. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds like I should get a ding.
Wrong podcast.
I still have some things to learn, guys.
See you later.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it, and I will be back again, hopefully.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Larry.
Okay, so we just got rid of one house guest. Let's welcome in our next one. You guys say hello to Peter McPherson, board game designer.
Hey!
Thank you.
So this game from AEG, Tiny Towns, is coming out in April 2019. Tell us a little bit about Tiny Towns.
So Tiny Towns is a mini town building game where each player is the mayor of their own town, represented by a 4x4 grid. And you are creating buildings in your town by laying out the different resources in the game in very specific shapes. There's 5 different resources, and you get them by taking turns being the master builder, who chooses a resource that everyone must build. So at the end of the game, everyone has built their town using the same exact resources. So it's very puzzly, it's got lots of planning, and then your town gets really tight as things fill up with resources and buildings.
Cool. Now, I haven't seen the artwork for this at all. Master Builder, of course, sounds like Legos to me. What's the style? What artist are you working with? What's the look of the game?
So the artist team is Gong Studios, and the art has it's a forest creatures themed game. So the idea is that the smaller forest critters have have moved away from the predators and found their own safe haven in the forest. So it's a very happy place, Tiny Towns is. So
oh, very cool.
Very colorful, yeah. And there's birds and chipmunks and hedgehogs.
Yeah, I've seen the artwork for it. It's very bright and colorful. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, so tell us a little bit about the process and how you got with AEG and to design this game. That's just a sort of like light bulb moment with Tiny Towns, or were you designing other games?
Yeah, I would say it was a light bulb moment. So I've had other designs, but none that really stuck like this one did. And I came up with the idea while bored at work one day and sketched it out on a piece of paper and played it with my girlfriend. And I was like, I think this might be a game. So it hasn't, the foundation of the game hasn't changed a tremendous amount since that main idea. We just added a lot of content, basically. And this is my first round, really, of pitching a game to a company. So PAX Unplugged 2017 was my first game convention. I had 5 meetings lined up with publishers and was just sort of looking at it as a learning experience. I was hoping to walk away from the weekend having learned some things and, you know, gotten my feet wet a little bit. And instead, AEG really liked it, and just a couple weeks later, said they were going to take it. So, and it's been a dream.
That's fantastic. A lot of our listeners are big Kickstarter supporters, and I think a lot of them are interested in the Kickstarting process and the publishing and the design, and you know, a lot of wannabe designers. Tell us a little bit about what was the process like to set up those interviews. Did you go in and make the connections ahead of time, or what was your game plan, and how'd you pull it off?
So I knew I wanted to work with a publisher rather than do Kickstarter. I didn't want to do any of that heavy listing and logistics and whatnot.
Smart man.
Ahead of the curve.
So I researched publishers rather that I thought might be interested. I think I emailed about 20 publishers and heard back from 10 of them. 5 said no, 5 said, sure, we'll do a meeting. And went from there. And it's going to be a straight to retail release. It's not going to be Kickstarter, but
yeah,
so,
sorry, I was sidetracking on our audience, but yeah, that's fantastic. That kind of information is the stuff that people are looking for. How do we, you know, do we just reach out? What do we do? And I think that's fantastic that you were willing to just jump in and make some connections. Our industry is really great for that, I think.
Right. Yeah. And I did go to each publisher's website and made sure I followed whatever method they were looking for, whether it was email or a form submission. So all publishers cool. that had a page for submissions on their site.
Tell us a little bit about the prototype that you brought with you to those interviews. Did you have a pretty finished, polished piece, or did you do the art on it? What was that like?
So that prototype I was still using last week. I only just received my own copy of Tiny Towns. So the prototype had no real artwork for the individual buildings. It had some art that my friend Alan did for the backgrounds of the cards and the board, the 4x4 grid. And other than that, it was just some shapes for the building meeples that I made in Google Drawings. And then I had wooden pieces that I ordered from Spiel Material, a German game piece site. And they look a little bit like Monopoly houses or Catan pieces. So little wooden things.
Keeping it simple. Very nice.
Yeah.
How much is that going to change in the final product?
Quite a bit. It changed quite a bit. So the building meeples are a little more detailed, a lot more detailed, really. And they're more colorful. And the cards are tarot size, which was not something I was expecting, but it sure is great because they're really visible from across the table. And the cards have artwork now. So the cards are about half artwork instead of 0% artwork. Yeah, I'm really just overwhelmed with how the final product looks. It looks like the most deluxe version I could have dreamed of. So I'm super happy with it.
Very cool.
So Tiny Towns, do you know what the size of the box is going to be about?
It is Ticket to Ride size. What is that? 11.5 by 11.5.
Okay. Yep. For some reason, I was thinking a tinier box for Tiny Towns, but it's a tiny town in a big box.
It's a tiny town in a big box. You know, I had always pictured a smaller box too, but then when you open it up, there's a lot of stuff in it. You know, the boards are biggish, and there's a ton of wood pieces. Really, I think there's 136 wooden buildings, and then the cubes. So there's not much air in that box.
Cool. So will you be like doing some demoing of it at conventions and things, or is that something that AEG is handling entirely? What's your role kind of at this point?
I'm going to be demoing as much as I can. I demoed it for the first time at PAX Unplugged, which was pretty exciting for me a year later to be showing people the finished product.
That's pretty awesome.
So I'm not positive which conventions just yet I'm going to be demoing at, but whichever ones I can get to, I'll be there. And then I'm sure AEG will be demoing it at the ones I'm not at also.
So what got you into design? You said you were bored at work for this one. Were you already working on other projects, or
are you a big board gamer in general? What's the...
It's safe to say I'm a big board gamer in general. Yep. So I did have other projects, but none that I was really pursuing at the time. So, you know, I had a notebook of game ideas, but many of my ideas don't make it to the prototype stage. And this one, for whatever reason, I decided to make a prototype on day one, and I've been designing it, working on it since then.
So do you have other projects now that this, you've been successful with Tiny Towns? Are there other ones you're like, oh, now I need to keep working on my prototypes?
That's the idea. Yeah, I've got a couple other ones. I have one that is called Artistes, which is a drawing party game. A drawing game that doesn't encourage you to draw too well necessarily. And then when you're guessing, you're not necessarily trying to be right, but you're trying to guess what other players will guess.
Okay, so for party game, is that more like team versus team, or is it still like player versus player?
It's everyone for themselves, and everyone is okay. An artiste at the same time. You all draw at the same time, and then you all guess at the same time. So everyone is doing a lot of drawing and guessing really quickly, and you know, it's a 20-minute, half-hour game that you can play with 10 people. So still working
on... Have you played Pictum?
I want to know, do you spell artiste different than artist?
Oh, it's got an E at the end because it's, okay. Because right. It's pretentious.
Right, okay.
Cool. So have you played Pictomania?
I have not played Pictomania. No.
Okay, because what you're describing sounds, you know, familiar to me, where people are drawing and guessing all at the same time, mm-hmm. Sort of.
Speed.
So there's a lot of speed going in, everyone for himself. So
okay.
Yeah, I would say check it out.
I will.
It's I think CGE just did a reprint of it this past year at Gen Con. Stronghold had it for a little while. Mm-hmm. I think it originated with CGE, but it's called Pictomania. And yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. But RT sounds cool. So
do you have like a play group? I know you said your fiance or your girlfriend, and I apologize because I can't remember which one you said.
Girlfriend? Yep. My main play tester for sure. So any design I'm working on, we love two-player games. So whatever game I make generally has to work two-player. Artistes is an exception to that because it's a party game. But so she has played tons of Tiny Towns. And then I also have a playtest group here called Spielbunny. They do a quarterly, very small playtest convention called Spielbunny. So we meet every other week and playtest various designs.
Cool. I think the support that comes from those type of groups is pretty crucial to game development. And then I think obviously one of the other questions everybody always thinks of when they put out a game is it expansion worthy, or are there expansions specifically in mind for Small Town?
Tiny Towns.
Tiny Towns.
I
won't rename the game, Will.
Well, maybe that's
I am working on expansion ideas.
Big
and
towns.
I'm actually co-designing the expansions with Josh Wood, who was the developer for Tiny Towns. So we're not sure
awesome.
What exactly is going to happen just yet with expansions, but whatever does, it will be co-designed with Josh Wood and I, because he's been absolutely instrumental in every part of the development. He's a great guy to work with.
Awesome. I always think that that's cool when there's like some vision for next steps already, and there's always that excitement that goes with it. And I think that's when some of the best development happens.
Yes, we do have some.
And plus, you're getting that feedback from all the people that you're playtesting the real game with, which is pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned PAX Unplugged twice, 2017 and 2018. Do you live nearby Philly? Is that why it was convenient for you?
Or? I'm in Albany, New York, so about 3 hours north of New York City. So Philadelphia is a four-hour drive thereabouts. Not incredibly far compared to some of the other conventions. So
yeah. So will you be attending some more conventions now that you have a game being published?
I absolutely hope to. Yeah, I'm hoping to go to probably 3 or 4 conventions next year. Might go to Gamma. I'd love to go to Gen Con. So we will see.
Cool.
Very exciting.
Yep, those are fun ones. We would love to hopefully connect with you at one of those. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
And best of luck with the game. Obviously, you guys are in the final straights, it sounds like, so that's fantastic. Remind us where we can find more information about it and how we can get a hold of it.
So there is the BGG page for Tiny Towns, which has, you know, some basic information on the game, and then the AEG website, alderac.com, has more info on the game, and the rule book is actually up there as well. So the retail release date, I believe, is April 26, 2019. And that is about all there is to know right now, I believe.
Cool. Well, we will definitely keep an eye out for that. Thanks so much Peter, for joining us and for giving us some insights onto your work. I appreciated the time, and we will look forward to finding your game on shelf soon.
Sounds great, and thank you guys so much for having me on. This has been a blast.
Bye! Thanks, Peter. Very cool to learn about Tiny Towns coming to the publishing world very soon.
Yeah.
So we got a couple other things to wrap up tonight. We didn't mention this at the beginning. We should have, because we've got a giveaway that we want to tell you guys about.
Definitely.
For our premiere event coming January 5th. We've talked about this a little bit, but we have put together a giant list and then whittled it down to a small list of board games, best ones for 2018.
Mm-hmm. Tantrum House Award Show.
We're going to premiere that on YouTube. We've got a bunch of guest media folks who are going to help us do the announcing, and then we've got several award winner receivers.
Yeah, publishers who are accepting the awards.
That's what they're called. And so we want people to know about the event. It's going to be cool. It's going to be, we're going to publish it as a premiere event on YouTube.
So
that
we'll
means.
Be there live with you when it premieres so we can chat it up.
But so
we,
in the comments, right?
Yeah, in the comments. And there's like a live comments section on the right side. But we want to build the hype for it, so we're going to give away a game.
A really nice one.
Yes.
We're giving away Chronicles of Crime from Lucky Duck Games.
Yes.
You can get your hands on that by, first off, subscribing to our YouTube channel if you haven't already done that. And then tell us about hashtag usage there, Kevin.
Yes, so if you do, we're going to be publishing some posts on social media with the hashtag House Awards. So share that with your friends and family, hashtag House Awards, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a copy of Chronicles of Crime that we'll give away to one lucky winner. With that, make sure you share with the date, which is going to be January 5th, and the time is 8 p.m. Eastern Time for the YouTube premiere video of our Tantrum House Award Show.
Yeah, and you also want to watch it live. Ooh. Because we have some prizes we're giving away during the live show.
Thank you, Melissa. Right. Yes, we have multiple prizes giving away during the live show. We even announce one during the show. We can secretly do this because it's a nice segue into Tantrum Con.
What? Hmm?
Yes, another game that we're going to be giving away in conjunction with all this is Endeavor, Age of Sail, sealed copy to one lucky winner who comes to Tantrum Con. So one badge holder will get this copy of Endeavor, Age of Sail from Burnt Island Games and Grand Gamers Guild. So
I feel excited because we are starting off 2019 with two big things in a row. We got the premiere right off the bat, and then Tantrum Con is February 15th through 17th.
Yep.
We just had a couple more people today who I'm excited will be coming, who I was talking to, who are coming to the event. And I think we're planning to, did we set a date? I just put Melissa on the spot, for when we're going to open up event registration.
It's going to be early January. The first couple days, it's going to go live for premier badge holders and then a few days later, the event grid will be open for everyone else.
So we've got some Keyforge tournaments. We've got the Settlers of Catan National Qualifier, which is pretty cool. We've got, do we have a count on the play to wins that we're doing? There's tons of play to wins.
That's not going to be something they sign up for.
That's true, right? You'll be able to do that on site.
But there's going to be learn to plays that we have different pods we'll set up that you can actually like play a game that you want to learn how to play.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say even game with certain people.
That's
so you can game a certain game with Kevin, or maybe like Captain Sonar with Will.
Right.
We have some media guests.
That's right, we have media
Derek
guests.
And Lizzie Funkhauser.
And we also have the Rolling Dice and Taking Names. Marty and Tony will be there, and you can sign up to play with them. And we have some VIP guests as well. We have Richard Lanius, and we have JB Howell. So two designers will be attending Tantrum Con, and we'd love for you to play some games with them.
Yeah, JB Howell, a lot of people might not know him yet, but he is the designer of Reavers of Midgard, which is coming out from Gray Fox. And then several other games that are going to be published in 2019.
Yeah, from a lot of different publishers, too. I think Colossal's publishing a couple and several other companies. So you'll be able to sign up for all that stuff. I think we're also, we just talked about this afternoon, the final details
on
the table flipping tournament.
Yes.
You can't come to Tantrum Con and not flip a table. So we're going to do some actual contests for that. We'll hook you up with a game, give you a time limit to be able to set the game up in, and then we'll flip them, slow motion.
They'll
those
flip
puppies.
Them?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So sign up.
Are we having judging? People judging us?
Absolutely. Judges. There probably needs to be a trophy. I just realized that. We need to get like a table-shaped trophy. Somebody work on that.
Okay.
Intern Larry, come back.
No, he's Larry the intern.
The apprentice.
The apprentice. Larry the apprentice.
That's right.
So you can get your badges for TantrumCon at TantrumCon.com.
TantrumCon.com.
We can't wait to see you guys there. We are pumped about it. We are excited about everything that's coming in 2019. And we want to wrap up this episode by wishing you a Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
See you guys.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.